Open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Turn to chapter 16 and verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know every heart that's in this room and that's going to hear this message. I ask you, Lord, you'd touch each and every one of us. I pray that you would bring those of us that are saved into a closer walk with you. I pray that any that are lost will be brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a very proud generation. If you're going to go to a job today, you need to really brag on yourself. They want you to have all these things filled out. Forms and telling everything you've done. If you've been a member of a club, if you've been a member of this, if you were a leader of that, if you played this and played that, and you're the best at this, and you brag on yourself. Now, when some of you older folks know that when we were young, that wasn't the way you did it. In fact, you spent too much time bragging on yourself when you were young. Boy, you got put down. But we look at pride, and sometimes we don't think about it like God thinks about it. Notice what it said right here. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination. You know what an abomination is? It's a smell like a skunk. It's a smell like a cesspool. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. And here he says, everyone that's proud in heart. Now, you know, that just pretty well includes most of us. I know you're not going to like that. But the most humble of us are very proud. You know, I've seen some people that get their feelings hurt because someone doesn't think they're as pretty as they think they are. Someone doesn't like their dress as well as they like it. Someone doesn't treat them just exactly right. And they get all offended. I would imagine that the reason most people leave churches, the reason why most people get out of the will of God, is they get offended. They get their feelings hurt, and they can't go past their hurt feelings. That's pride. That's your pride. If you didn't have pride sticking up in your face, you wouldn't get your feelings hurt. Somebody doesn't think as well of you as you think of yourself. And that hurts your feelings. We're very proud. Most of us are proud. I wrote a book on humility. Its title is Humility and How I Obtained It. And the first 45 pages are pictures of the author. We can be very proud of our humility. You understand what I'm saying? We can get so proud of our Christianity, so proud of our car, so proud of some achievement we've got, so proud of our body, so proud of our clothes, so proud of so many things, and it's an abomination in the nostrils of God. I want you to know God hates pride in His own children. God hates pride in the lost. It says right here, and it's just as simple as can be, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Now, there's several reasons for this, but look at another verse with me. 1 Peter 5:5. We don't generally use the verse this way. We use it to emphasize humility in seeking the Lord, but I want you to notice what it says. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. All of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore. Did you notice that little phrase in there? God resisteth the proud. Now, some of you know I'm sort of built low to the ground. There's some man walking around with my legs. I've got this great big body and these short legs, you know, these two little stumps. Maybe I need to change with Jones here and take his legs and my body, you know. People didn't move the kids. Most of the time I taught middle school, and so all of them were teenagers. But I have been hit I don't know how many times. I try to stop the kids from running here because they're going to hurt somebody, you know. I try to slow them down. My grandkids are among the worst. Run. So's Riggs' grandkids. But, you know, when the kids ran into me in school, they bounced off. Never did a kid hit me and knock me. You know, I've got a solid foundation and a lot of weight. So I'm sort of a solid block there, you know, and they come running. I never got worried in school that some kid was going to run into me and just knock me flying. They didn't weigh enough. They weren't big enough. Now let me ask you something. This is a very clear statement, and it's sort of a statement that we sort of overlook as we're going through it. God resisteth the proud. What are you going to do when God resists you? You ever met up with some hard-headed people? Oh, yeah. You meet some hard-headed people in life. There's some people aren't moved. My wife has told me that as she was growing up that if her mother told her she couldn't do something, well, she could pretty well talk to her and plead with her, reason with her, and get her around to her way after a while. But once her daddy said no, that was it forever. The man didn't change his mind hardly at all. You weren't going to move him. You couldn't push him. You couldn't drag him. There's some people who have the strength of will or determination, and they hold their strength of mind so that you don't move them. Let me tell you something about God. If God resists you, what are you going to do? You're not going to get anywhere, are you? It says, God resisteth the proud. Now, boy, that ought to make me, as a born-again child of God, wake up. God resisteth the proud. How am I going to go anywhere in this life without God? Huh? How am I going to raise my children? How am I going to be successful at my job? How am I going to keep a marriage together? How am I going to answer the needs of life? How am I going to face the problems and difficulties that come to me in my life? God resisteth the proud. Do I want the blessing of God upon my life, upon my ministry, upon my church, upon my family, upon my children, my grandchildren, my friends, my ministry? I cannot afford to be proud. I must judge pride in me. We cannot afford to be a proud church. Amen. Somebody was going to write something about me, and I said, wait. I don't want you bragging on me. Sure as you brag on me, God will have to let me flop right in front of you. Because I'll get lifted up with pride. And I don't want that. The one thing I don't want is to be on the outside of God's blessing. You know where I want to be? I want to be on the inside of God's blessing. Now, maybe you're here and you're not saved. Maybe you've been invited in and you're just a visitor. Or maybe you're here and you're a member of this church and you're not saved. Think about what it says there. God resisteth the proud, and the proud are an abomination to the Lord. Have you heard what comes out of your mouth most days? some of you testify every day to your pride. You know what I hear? I really told my boss off. Boy, did I tell him off. Some of you tell the preacher off. Some of you tell your parents off. I've seen kids talking about how they talk back to their parents or talk back to their teacher or talk back to their preacher or talk back to their boss. Pride. It's just oozing out of our nostrils, out of our ears, out of our eyes. This pride of life that we have that just seems to get us in trouble over and over and over again. Some of you have a pitiful marriage, an absolutely pitiful marriage for pride. It's pride. Maybe pride on both your parts. It may just be pride on one of your parts. Maybe one of you just simply too proud. Another verse going back into Proverbs. Look at verse 10. Now here's a statement. Proverbs 13:10. Here's a statement that it's like an absolute statement. Only by pride cometh contention. Only? You can't get contention any other way? That's what it seems to say. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well adviseth wisdom. Only by pride cometh contention? Yes. The reason why you're fussing and fighting is pride. You got your feelings hurt. Somebody didn't do what you wanted done. You didn't get your way. You're not as important as you thought you were. You know what pride will do for you? Pride will ruin your character. Tell you what pride will do for you. Pride will ruin your testimony. Pride will ruin your ministry. I've seen good ministries brought down maybe by the pride of a wife or the pride of a son or the pride of the preacher himself. Pride destroys everything good that you want. It doesn't help you out. I'm just using about six verses out of the Bible that I studied. I studied a number. And you could teach on this week after week and keep on going because there's an awful lot said about it in the Bible and there's an awful lot about it in our lives. The reason why some of you do not serve God right now is because you're too proud. Because you didn't get a big enough position. Somebody didn't brag on you enough. Somebody didn't think they ought to pay you what you thought you were worth. So you're not doing what God wanted you to do and what God could have used you to do simply because of the pride of your heart. And some of you are a terrible testimony at the present time. Your life, your marriage, and it's because of your pride. You will not do what you ought to do. What a shame. What a shame. Pride. Pride will ruin you.
Amen.
Only by pride cometh contention. Some of you kids, and by the way, I can talk to teenagers. I was a teenager myself. I've got experience. I married a teenager, by the way. I got real experience. I raised 5 teenagers. That's even more experience. And I taught over 3,000 of them. I've got some experience with teenagers. And you know one of the things that's wrong with teenagers and one of the things they have a real problem with? Pride. I'm a man. You don't look like a man to me, but I'm a grown woman. I can make my own decisions. I don't have to listen to mama, daddy. Isn't that the biggest problem with teenagers? Well, they tell me I need to obey the laws, you know. I ought to drive slow. No, I know how to drive. Every kid I had wrecked his first car. Everyone. You know, when my first son got his driver's license and got his first car, and the insurance charged me really high, I said, that's not fair. That's judging him before the fact. He has not done a thing wrong yet. He hasn't even driven. You do not have a right to charge him as high as you did. By the time I got through raising 5 teenagers, they don't charge you enough. Pride brings rebellion. Rebellion against the father. Rebellion against the mother. Rebellion against advice. Rebellion against the preacher. You got an attitude problem? Some of you ladies got a real attitude problem with your husband. But you know, I didn't write this Bible, but God told you to obey your husband. I didn't write that. I like it. But I didn't write it. God wrote it. You need to get your heart right and humble yourself and obey your husband. Now, let me tell you something else. The Bible tells you to obey your pastor. Amen. Obey them that have the rule over you, that watch for your souls. And some of you, if I said something to you about a skirt that was a little bit too short, you'd get all offended. Whoop! Run off. Had a young lady one time, she come sit down right here in the front, and she already had it on too short, and then she kicked it up as high as she could so that you could look at her panties while you were preaching, you know. Well, I spoke to her. I told her, don't come back like that. Don't mind you coming back, but put on some clothes. Amen. Don't pull on it. Sew something on it, ladies. She got all offended. Poof! Run on out and went to her daddy. Her daddy was a preacher also. He told her that he told you the truth. Why don't you do what he told you to do? Because she hadn't obeyed her daddy. She wasn't going to obey me. You know what you need to do? You've got too much pride to obey your pastors. You think you know better than they. You think you're smarter than they are. You're smarter than your boss. I had a friend. He had a son that was a lot of trouble. But that boy could get as good a job as there was. He could talk himself into a real good job, but he kept losing them. And I spoke to his daddy one time. I said, you know, Johnny gets those good jobs, but he doesn't keep them very long. He said, oh, he's got a problem. After about 2 months there, he's a good worker, but after about 2 months there, he's telling the boss how to run the company. Too much pride. He knew more than the boss. Just give him 2 months. He can tell you how to run your things. Some of you got your mouth open all the time, and it's spewing out the pride of your heart. It's causing contention. Contention between a husband and a wife. Contention between parents and children. Contention against people in the church or people in authority. Contention at your work. Only by pride cometh contention. Amen. That's right. What it says, only by pride cometh contention. If we weren't so proud, we'd get along a whole lot better. It's another verse. In Psalms 10:4. Psalms 10:4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, that's his face. He does not want to lose face. He's proud. Will not seek after God. I don't know how many times I've seen this. I've seen people in trouble, in need. My, they needed intervention. My, they needed a help. My, they needed a blessing. And they seek after God? No, I don't need anybody. I don't know how many alcoholics I've talked to. Drug addicts. I can quit anytime I want to. I don't need any help. I don't need help from God. I don't need any help from AA. I don't need any help from friends or family. I don't need any help. I can quit anytime I want to. Well, why don't you? I don't want to yet. No, they're just caught. They can't quit. They are burdened down and broken. They are held by the cords of sin. And through the pride of their countenance, they will not seek after God. My wife had an uncle that used to give me a hard time about being a preacher. And Johnny, my brother-in-law, because we went to church all the time, Johnny's a faithful member and a preacher. And he would say, you know, I go to church about once a year, and that takes care of me. Y'all must be real big sinners to have to go three times a week. You know what? You need the Lord. You need the Lord. And you need to recognize that you need the Lord. And the only reason why you would look at your miserable life and what you've done with it and say you don't need the Lord is your pride. I don't need a crutch. I'm strong. I'm safe. I'm okay. I'm right. But you're not. Tell you something else pride does. Won't let you admit you're wrong. It's always somebody else's fault. The marriage didn't work because somebody else's fault. I couldn't be successful. It was somebody else's fault. We had a fight. It was his fault. It was her fault. We've got a little ditty of a song that we sang years ago. I haven't heard it too much lately. It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. If you weren't so proud, you'd recognize that even though you might be less guilty, you probably are guilty. Just because somebody else is more at fault doesn't mean you aren't at fault. And most problems that I come across, there's guilt on both sides. I'm not saying it couldn't be that sometimes it's 100%, but most of the time there's a percentage on both sides. And some of you in your self-righteousness and your pride have set up contentions. You will not seek God for your confession. You will not confess that you're at fault. You will not confess that you have a need. You will not confess that you failed. You will not recognize that you have sin that needs to be taken care of. And because of that, you go on and you don't get the blessing. You don't get forgiveness. You don't get to start over. You know why you won't confess it? You know why you won't admit it? Your pride. God hates it. Read your Bible. Take a concordance. Look up every verse in it on pride. You know what you'll find out? God hates it. Not much good comes of it. Great harm comes because of our pride. We separate people, brothers and sisters, separate for life. Fathers and sons, separate for life. They'd never get back together because of pride. The shame. And especially in the church of God. So somebody hurts your feelings. Is that the first time? I've been getting my feelings hurt as long as I can remember. I've had people in the church gather and have a meeting on what's wrong with Lindell. Come give me a list of 10 things. I tell them, if you'd come to me, I'd give you a better list. It hurt me so bad, I took a quarter of a baby aspirin and went to sleep. You know what you need to know? You need to know your limitations. You need to know you are a sinner. You need to know you are a failure. You need to know that you make mistakes. You need to know that you're not always right. You can't keep a church together without forgiving people and people confessing their faults and asking somebody, I'm sorry, forgive me. You can't keep a marriage going for 51 years without saying, I'm sorry, forgive me. And that's on both of you. You can't be sitting back, I'm the pretty little sweet one. I don't ever do anything wrong. Even my sweat smells good. No. Some of you little self-righteous, proud ones are the main cause of the problem. Ooh, didn't get any amens on that one, did I? That's all right. It's true anyway. Amen, Brother Lindell. That's good preaching, whether you like it or not. Will you seek God? It said right here, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Will you seek God? How are you going to come before God? God, I thank thee I'm not as other men are. God, I'm no adulterer. I don't cheat. I tithe. I fast twice in the week. How would you come before God? God said he didn't like that prayer. God said that fellow that prayed standing up in the temple didn't get an answer. He was rejected. God said pride is an abomination in his nostrils. But there was an old guy, a poor guy, in the temple with him. And he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know what the ring, the testimony of heaven was? That man went down to his house justified. Isn't that good? That's what you want. You want justification. You want God to tell you you're right. You want God to tell you everything's all right. You want God to tell you, yes, it's fine. I've taken care of it all. You're okay. Look in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 65, right at the very end. Next to the last chapter. Isaiah 65, verse 2. It's God speaking. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. I'm really thankful that the God I serve is a good God. What could you do if God was a bad God? Wouldn't be anything you could do about it. But God is a good God. His mercy endureth forever, the Bible says. He's a merciful God. He's a wise God, a loving God. And here's what he's saying. He said, I have stretched out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people who are walking the wrong way. God still get his hands stretched out and you're not coming to him. God's reaching out to you. He's reached out with friends and family. He's reached out with preaching, with testimony, with the Word of God, with your own conviction. He's reaching out. All day long have I stretched out my hand to a rebellious people. Why are they rebellious? They're too proud. You wouldn't be rebellious against God if you weren't proud in heart. If you weren't proud, you'd be humble. Many a young person, you remember it. Dad or mama walks in, tells them something's not right, and they blow up in pride. That's what you're doing with God right now. Spirit of God tells you it's wrong. The Word of God tells you it's wrong. The preacher tells you it's wrong. Your own conscience tells you it's wrong, and yet you blow up against God. No, I'm not going to seek Him face. No, I'm not coming back. Don't have to humble me. I'm not going to take the blame. It's not my fault. pride. How about a God which stretched out His hands all the day unto a rebellious people? How about a God like that? How about a God who could simply speak the word and you would disappear out of existence? You realize the power of God? The word God. Scientists don't like it. Our modern evolutionists don't like it. There's somebody bigger than them. There's a brain out there bigger than theirs. There's a power out there they can't control and they don't even understand it. All day long have I stretched out my hands to a rebellious people. Do you have a rebellious attitude? No, not me. It's everybody else's fault. Do you have a rebellious attitude? God help us. One more verse. Look over in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. I'm going to wait till you get this one. Turn to it. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? If God were a hard, cold, absolute dictator God, and He offered no quarter, no mercy, what would be the sense of repenting? When Santa Ana came through here, there were just about 180 men, less than 200, at an old mission, abandoned, broken down mission called the Alamo. Santa Ana said, after it was over, no big deal. It was no big deal. He had every one of the survivors killed and burned. At Goliad, they surrendered. What did they do to them? They killed all of them, except for a few saved by some ladies. You know what that did to the rest of the Texan army? A ragtag bunch. It made them decide never to surrender. What good is it to surrender if they're going to kill you anyway? If God were a hard God that offered no quarter, no surrender, He's just going to crush you anyway, there'd be no reason to repent. There'd be no reason to surrender. There'd be no reason to call out after Him and seek Him. But you know what my Bible tells me? That He has goodness, forbearance, long-suffering. He's good. And He's willing and has proven that He suffers long. His mercy endureth forever. Amen. And because of His great love and His mercy that reaches out to you over and over again, all the way up until today. Up until this day, the long-suffering of God has reached out to you. Some of you are going to go to hell anyway. You're just too proud. And some of you Christians are just going to stay stubborn in your sin, in your attitude, in your rebellion, not knowing, ignorant, that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God, it ought to lead you to repentance. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, the goodness of God reaches out to you. He'll forgive your sins and save your soul. You need, first of all, admit you need help. Admit you're wrong. Confess your sin. Don't hide it. Don't blame somebody else. Don't make excuses. Reject the pride in your mind and humble yourself, because in your pride you will never reach God. He resists the proud. In your pride, saying, I'm not going to go down. I'm not going to humble myself. I'm not going to get down and cry. I'm not going to confess. Not all my fault. You'll go to hell. Or if you're a child of God, you'll ruin your testimony, your life, your happiness, and your joy. The God you serve, you cannot resist Him successfully. He's not even on your level. But you can reach Him because of His goodness. Because He's so good. Because His love is so great. He made a way for you to be saved. And my Christian friend, He made a way for you to start over. He's not just the God of the second chance. He's the 10th chance and the 50th chance and the 100th chance. And I don't know which chance I'm on right now. But the mercy of God reaches out to you. And the hands of God are stretched out towards you. And the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Let's stand and sing number 249.